Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
This is Alan Churchill speaking. Friends, many, if not all of you, are aware that the Reverend Don Crisp has been fighting a terrific battle with cancer over the last few months. He passed away on August the 12th. Don, a Baptist pastor from Smiths Falls, took over from me when I retired. It was immediately obvious that Don had real talent in broadcasting good news in the morning. Don, we discovered, used to listen to this program when I was on the air. Don's deep, thoughtful voice was extraordinary. It became clear that he should be the one to follow me. He brought a new focus and style with him, and our faith was basically the same. Please pray for Tricia and their family. Here now is a message delivered by Don called Embracing Your Problems.
My name is Donald Crisp, and I am the lead pastor at the First Baptist Church of Smiths Falls. And it is my privilege to bring the good news message today. This program is sponsored by the Good News Christian Ministries, Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, KOG 1WO. Now think of it. Today is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is always wonderful to have God's people gather on God's day to hear God's word. And now, may God bless our hearing of today's message. And may we commit ourselves to listen with all our hearts. My prayer today is that God will bless you, encourage you, challenge you, and comfort you. May God turn your heart and my heart toward home as He speaks to us and draws us near. My message today is entitled, Embracing Your Problems. The Bible says in James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4, now listen carefully, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete and not lacking anything. The fact is, we need to be reminded that God is watching us. The Bible informs us that He leads us, He guides us, He provides for us. Listen to Psalm 91, verse 11. Well, actually, you can read it for yourself. It says that He commands His angels to guard over us. In Psalm 121, verse 8, it records these words, He watches over us, He watches over our coming and our going, both now and forevermore. In fact, the Bible says, His eye is constantly on the sparrow. Let's now listen to Sandy Patty singing that song, His Eye is on the Sparrow, from the Hymns of Faith, Songs of Inspiration, Disc 1.
Jesus is my portion.
Again, James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4 reads, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, and might I add, my sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete and not lacking anything." Did you notice the spiritual process there? Trials are allowed to come our way. Why? To test our faith so that you and I can develop perseverance. Perseverance will in turn help us gain maturity in our faith. Now, we don't count it pure joy because the bottom of our boat has just fallen out. We count it pure joy because we trust God for our journey. We trust His promises that He will be with us during the process. Yes, each of us can say, "I count it pure joy because God's eye is on the sparrow, and therefore I know that He is watching over me." You may be faced with problems related to family or marriage, health problems, vocation, finances, drugs, abuse. Well, the list goes on and on. How do you deal with the problems that come your way in life? That's really the question, isn't it? A seasoned poet once wrote these words, "It was pain that knocked upon my door and said that she had come to stay. And though I would not welcome her, but asked her to go away, she still entered in, and like my own shadow, she followed after me, and from her stabbing, stinging sword, no moment was I free." The poet describes a very difficult, painful situation. Many of you listening today are bruised and immobilized by your trials. The bruises are not always the kind you can see on the outside. We know that. They're on the inside. Some of us are bruised over the death of loved ones. Others are facing emotional trauma, relational stress, spiritual doubts, marital conflicts, sexual temptations, financial setbacks, occupational disappointments, and so on. Now here's the truth, and no matter what some may tell you today, trials are common to all people, and Christians are not exempt. In today's text, James shows us how to respond to your trial. So my first point is simply this. You and I are to respond and not react to trials. What do I mean by that? Well, first of all, when we react, we often react emotionally and we regret it later. When we respond, we begin to understand that most of life's issues are fairly predictable, and we need to respond in a way that will be healthy. Therefore, I recommend that we, with each issue that comes our way, we stop, we think, and we pray about it. You see, when we react, you will find yourself not only reacting emotionally, but often we're motivated in that case by fear or anger. We find ourselves reacting in a way that's not complementary to the person or the issue or ourselves. Think of it this way. It's like a dog with a bone. That dog keeps chewing on it and chewing on it and chewing on it. Isn't that what we end up doing with our problems? Nursing them, rehearsing them, cursing them? Yes, we are to respond, not to react to trials. Secondly, you and I are to respond with perseverance. That's what James was teaching in that text. J.B. Phillips' translation of verses 2 and 3 of James 1 reads this way. When all kinds of trials and temptations crowd into your lives, my brothers and my sisters, don't resent them as intruders, but welcome them as friends. Realize they have come to test your faith. Yes, that begins to make sense, doesn't it? You see, the many trials that God allows to come your way are never meant to hurt you, but rather to help you. To persevere will take focus. One has to be consistently intentional. One has to decide from the very beginning never to give up. Walter Payton never gave up. At just 5'10", 202 pounds, he was not a particularly large running back for the NFL, but he set one of sport's greatest records, the all-time rushing record of 16,726 yards. Wow. During this 12-year career, Payton carried the ball over 9 miles. What is truly impressive, though, is that he was knocked to the ground on the average of every 4.4 yards of those 9 miles, and he was knocked down by someone bigger than himself. Yes, he kept getting up because, now listen to this, he kept getting up because he understood that his purpose was not to stay down, but to get up and to move forward and persevere. I think that's what the Bible's teaching in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, when it says, we are hard-pressed on each side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. Here's the truth. God is not as concerned about my comfort as he is about my character. God is not as concerned about your comfort as he is about your character. We must learn that failure teaches us. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 16 says that. A righteous man, a righteous woman may fall 7 times, but they will rise again. You see, God wants us to focus on him. And when we do so, we will keep getting up. We'll be motivated by a purpose greater than ourselves. One translation reads this way. We are knocked down, but we are not knocked out. So get up and move forward. And try again. Oh, yes, the year was 1831. This gentleman failed in business. He went bankrupt. 1833, he was back on his feet and then failed again. 1835, his fiancée died. 1836, he had a nervous breakdown. 1838, he ran for the Speaker of the House in the United States but was defeated. 1840, elector, he ran for that office and was defeated. 1843, Congress, well, he ran for that. He was defeated. 1848, he ran again for Congress, and he was defeated again. 1855, he ran for the Senate. Guess what? He was defeated. 1856, he ran for the Vice President of the United States of America. Oh, yes, and he was defeated. 1858, he ran for Senate once again, and once again, he was defeated. And then came the year 1860. He ran for the President of the United States, and he was elected, and one of the greatest presidents who ever lived. His name? Abraham Lincoln. Yes, we are knocked down, but we are not knocked out. So get up and move forward and try again. I think that's what Winston Churchill meant when he said, success is the ability to move from one failure to the next. I like that, moving from one failure to the next. Actually, I see life as this way. Perhaps you've heard it. Every setback is a setup for a comeback. So next time you think that you've taken two steps forward and three or four back, just remember, every setback is a setup for a comeback. There was a skinny young boy who loved football with all his heart. He was determined to try his best at every practice, and perhaps he'd get to play when he became a senior. All through high school, he never missed a practice. He never missed a game, but remained a bench warmer all 4 years. And his faithful father was always in the stands, always with words of encouragement for him. When the young man went to college, he decided to try out for the football team as a walk-in. Everyone was sure he could never make the cut, but he did. The coach admitted that he kept him on the roster because this young lad always put his heart and soul into every practice and was a great model for the teammates. The news that he had survived the cut thrilled him so much that he rushed to the nearest phone and called his father. His father shared his excitement and was sent season tickets for all the college games. Well, you know for sure the father attended all those games. This persistent young athlete never missed practice during the 4 years of college, but he never got to play in a game either. It was at the end of his senior football season, and as he trotted onto the field to practice, the coach called him over to his side, and he handed the young man a telegram. Young man read the telegram, and he became deadly silent. Swallowing hard, he mumbled to the coach, "Coach, my father died this morning. Do you think it'd be all right if I miss practice today?" And the coach put his arm around him and gently said, "Son, take whatever time you need." Well, he did. But soon, a few days later, the game came. Saturday arrived, and the game was not going well. It was in the third quarter when the team was 10 points behind. A silent young man quietly slipped into the empty locker room and put on his football gear, and he ran onto the sidelines. The coach and his players, they were all astonished to see this faithful teammate back so soon. "Coach, please let me play today. I've just got to play today." The coach pretended not to hear him. There's no way he wanted his worst player in on the team to play in this close playoff game. It's not going to happen. Well, the young man persisted, and he kept saying, "Coach, I just need to play today." Finally, the coach said, "All right, you can go in." And you know what? Before long, the coach, the players, and everyone in the stands could not believe their eyes. This little unknown, who had never played before, was doing everything right. The opposing team could not stop him. He ran, he blocked, he tackled like a star. His team began to win. They were motivated just by watching him. The score was soon tied, and in the closing seconds of the game, this kid intercepted a pass, and he ran all the way for the winning touchdown. Oh, this could be a movie. The fans broke loose. His teammates hoisted him onto their shoulders. Such cheering like you've never heard. Finally, after the stands had emptied and the team had left the locker room, the coach noticed that this young man was sitting quietly in the corner all alone. The coach came up to him and he said, "Son, I can't believe it. You were fantastic. Tell me, what got into you? How did you do what you did?" The young man swallowed hard and forced a smile. "You see, Coach, Dad came to all my games, but today would have been the first time he could actually see me play. I wanted to show him how well I could do." You know, folks, we have a Father in heaven who's watching how we are walking and how we are living. I don't want to suggest that life is a game, but the fact is we are to be like an athlete when it comes to running the race of faith, knowing full well our Father in heaven is watching everything. Yes, even when we go through trials and temptations, even when we have problems, even when we walk through the valley of pain. Let's listen to Randy Travis now singing "The Valley of Pain."
Don't let me grow bitter, I pray. Give me strength to carry on my way. I'm leaning on you like a wooden cane. I'm walking through, I'm walking through the valley of pain. I'm believing there's a reason for this trial. This too shall pass in a little while. Oh Lord, have mercy if I complain. While I'm walking through, walking through the valley of pain. Oh, I'm walking through, walking through the valley of pain. Won't you bathe me in a river of my tears? Whisper hope and truth and courage in my ears. When I'm hurting, I have a dangerous time. I'll lose it and use it like a gun. Lord, stop me if you see me taking aim. While I'm walking through the valley of pain. I'm walking through the valley of pain. I'm walking through the valley of pain. Give me strength to carry on my way. Don't let the darkness drive me insane. While I'm walking through this valley of pain. I'm walking through the valley of pain. While I'm walking through this valley of pain.
Now let's note the spiritual process again. Trials are allowed to come our way. Why? Why? To test our faith, that's why. So that you and I can develop perseverance. Why? Because perseverance will help us gain maturity in our journey of faith. And we will be able to understand that we must trust God, the one who is promising us to lead us and guide us and to provide for us. I want us to look at motivation for a second. Our motivation for running the race of faith, even when problems come, our motivation should be to love God and be determined to love Him and be determined to bring Him honor and glory. I think that's what 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 is really saying. It says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. You see, folks, the word persevere means to take whatever trial or burden that you are going through and to use it as a platform to bring God honor and glory. As I close, I want each of us to ponder the following words of wisdom. And as I read these words, I want us to really think about them and apply our own life to it. Listen to these words. I asked for health that I might do greater things. I was given infirmity that I might do better things. I asked God for strength that I might achieve. I was made weak that I might learn to obey. I asked for riches that I might be happy. I was given poverty that I might be wise. I asked for power and the praise of men. I was given weakness to sense my need of God. I asked for all things that I might enjoy life. I was given life that I might enjoy all things. I got nothing that I asked for, but everything that I hoped for. In spite of myself, my prayers were answered. I am among all people most richly blessed. Yes, we must learn to embrace our problems, trusting God, the one who will lead and guide us for the journey. Would you pray with me? Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are Lord of the journey. And Father, even as we pray right now, we know that life will hand us all kinds of challenges. There'll be many valleys that we go through. Father, we want to keep our eyes on you. We want to be able to follow you, not so that we'd be safe or comfortable, so that we can be all that you want us to be. Today, Father, I surrender my life to you. Today, Father, I surrender my life to Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, would you come into my life right now and save me? Forgive me of all my sins. Oh, I give you thanks. And Father, for those of us who already know Jesus as our Savior, Lord, we want to also pray that he would be Lord of the journey. Lord Jesus, I surrender myself to you. You are the one who will lead. I am the one who is to follow. And I just pray that I would be faithful in following you all the days of my life. Father, we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as we conclude today's program, here is Elvis singing Reach Out to Jesus. And now may God bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you. May you live with courage and faith and love, and may you be grace agents for Christ in a world that hungers for hope, love, and truth. Amen.
As you bear it all along, does the road you travel harbor dangers yet unknown? Are you growing weary in the struggle? Just remember what to do. Reach out to Jesus. He's reaching out to you. Is the life you're living filled with sorrow and despair?
Good News in the Morning is produced